Mr. Ted Davis, Reel 2. We're talking about your basic training at HMS Collingwood Shore Station at Fareham between March and April 1943. And we're just sort of, perhaps now, if we go on to look at your basic training through means of a typical day, you know, no such thing really, but how would your day start, you know, in the morning?
We'd get a call about 6:30 in the morning, and you'd go off to breakfast about 7:30.
So what would you be doing in between?
Well, getting dressed and your ablutions and all that sort of thing. And you'd get yourself ready, go in for breakfast, and then when you come out, possibly you'd start about, it'd fall you in about 8:30.
Now let me ask you about the food. You mentioned your food when you first got there. What was the food like? Breakfast, dinner, tea? What did you get? Was there enough of it, or what was it like?
You'd get possibly streaky bacon and beans. Another day you'd get fish, they used to call that yellow peru.
Baked fish, then, from the start. Was it baked fish?
No, boiled.
Boiled, yeah.
And sausages and beans another time.
Were they real sausages or were they those soya things?
No, real sausages. I can't quite remember a lot of the breakfast.
What about lunch, dinner, whatever, you know?
Dinner, dinner. Well, by the time you'd, you might go on to PT.
All the food together and I'll come back.
The food?
Yeah.
Dinner times, it used to be a meat, you know, be a meat and two veg, might be, we had a lot of mince, ash and slush, as they call it. We had a lot of mince. And it was veg, and then for sweet you'd get some suet pudding or a chocolate pudding or something like that. But he was always hungry, so you went round to the back of the galley for any gash and any of this sponge that was over, you used to eat.
Gash is spare. That sounds like there wasn't enough, basically.
Well, no, what it was, you was 18 and you was growing, didn't you? And so you was always hungry, and the exercise I give you it sort of made you hungry.
What was the quality like? I mean, you turned your nose a bit at the beef when you got there. But I mean, what was the quality like?
It was quite good, you know. You got so much, and that was it. You know, you didn't get any.
And you know, with meat, you can have quite good meat, but then they can ruin it by cooking and presentation.
Yeah. It was quite good. You know, the meals was quite reasonable. You know.
And for tea, what would you get for tea?
For tea, you'd have bread and butter and jam.
So not a proper meal, just a.
No, meat. Then you got a supper.
What was supper?
Oh God. Do you know, I can't remember.
That's fair enough, but that was a more substantial meal, you think, than the tea was?
Tea, yeah. Oh, yeah, tea was only like bread and jam or something like that.
This would be
you got that about 4:00, and the worst time used to be about 6:00, the supper.
Now, if we go back into the day, so after you've had your breakfast, what would happen next?
Tell you to go and give you so many minutes or something to get PT kit on. Then you might go out for a run, you know, with your oil skin on over the top of your, what's the name. Also, another one was they had a big like triangle mast. It was like squared ropes. You know, can you understand what I mean? You go, there's a name for it.
Masthead.
Yeah, but it went up in, you climbed up one side, you went up high, and then you had to climb down the other side.
About how high? Roughly, I mean.
I'd say about where that guttering is, maybe a bit higher than that.
So 30, 40 foot?
Foot, yeah.
At most.
Yeah,
at most.
And it was like, what do they call them now? It's like squares, like that, of rope. It's all.
Netting. Sorry,
yeah. Like large netting. But and then you'd do that over the other side, and they used to say, when you went into Collingwood, they give you a card, right? And that was your sort of lifeline, you know, your card. If you wanted anything, if you wanted sweets or anything like that, you had to give that in, and if you didn't have that, if they took that away from you, you couldn't do anything or go anywhere, you couldn't even go ashore, you know. So the old petty officer say, right, the last one over, I'll take your card. He never did, but it made sure that everybody got over.
So it's like you'd race over it?
Yeah.
So you go up one side to the top and down the other side.
Yeah.
And race?
Yeah, you got over as quickly as you could. And then when you got a little bit proficient at that, you'd do it with a gas mask on. One of them pipe ones, you know, with a, and you'd go over it, wouldn't it?
Isn't that tough?
Yeah.
So what else did you do in PT?
Running.
Mostly running.
And
what about
physical,
all this?
Yeah.
So Swedish exercises.
First of all, you had divisions. After breakfast, you had divisions, where the band would play and all that.
Now what
sort
was
of thing
divisions?
On.
Just to explain to me what the divisions.
Well, it's where everybody fell in. They went on parade. You'd stay with you in your particular people in your hut. You know, you'd be in that little division. There was about four divisions, all might be Rodney, Nelson, somebody else and somebody else, like all names of famous people. And you'd all stand about, you know, be on parade, you'd all stand there, be God Save the Queen and all that, and this band playing, and then the old officer of the day, and possibly the camp, you know, commander, he'd be there, and you'd all go past, and you know, and then you'd go off to your different whatever you was doing. Like you might be gunnery, and you'd be holding a shell and all that, and they'd teach you how the guns worked and all that.
Well,
that'd be a sort of average day, you know. Divisions first, then.
Did you actually do much drill?
Oh yeah, you'd done.
Would that be
about.
After divisions, or I mean, would you have actual drill?
Well, you might do PC or you might be doing drill.
What was drill like? I mean, you've been in the army, the Home Guard. So
I had a rough idea. You know, it'd be marching across the parade ground, and it'd be right turn, about turn, back you'd come the other way, and all that, and you'd gradually get in. You know, somebody was behind, pick that step up, and all that. You know.
It sounds like you almost enjoyed it. Well, you did enjoy it.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Did you see then the point of it? Did you know why you were doing so much of it?
Well, I would imagine, you know, you thought to yourself, well, it's discipline to get you all to do the same thing all at the same time together. So, you know, But some of it used to, you think afterwards, might have been a waste of time, you know. Any of these exercises, you know, you'd do them once and then do them again, and you couldn't see any fault, but they must have seen a fault somewhere, so they make you do it again.
You mentioned gunnery. Would that start with some weapons drill, rifles,
yeah, and also the guns that was on the ship.
Well, so did you have anything to learn about the rifle? Did it teach you anything you didn't already know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I knew a bit. Yeah, I knew a bit about it, but they would get you to possibly strip it down and you know, and then they'd put it all back together again.
They hadn't done that in the Home Guard?
Home Guard, no.
And so what about shooting? Did you get much chance on the range with them, with the Enfield?
Sometimes, you know, you'd go out in a party, you know, and wasn't very often. I'd done most of my Muslim when I went to Whale Island.
So it was just firing a few shots on the range.
Yeah.
Were you doing all right still?
Not too bad, yeah, I do.
Now, what about the guns and the ship? This is not when they went to Whale Island. I'm talking about while you were at, you know, the basic training.
Yeah.
How did this start teaching you proper gunnery?
Well,
Colin, introducing you to it, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Colin Wood, not Dale. Sorry,
Colin Wood, yeah. They had, old guns that come off, you know, they're mounted, and they'd come off these big old ships.
Do you know which ones they were, 6-inch or 4-inch or what?
I think it was a 3-inch or 4-inch, and that was about it, you know. But they used to show you how to load them and all that. And
so, gunnery drill from the sound of it.
Yeah, it was. The real serious stuff came when I went to Whale Island. and that's
perhaps we'll leave it till then, because you know. So you did a bit of gunnery drill.
Yeah, a bit of gunnery.
What about seamanship training?
Well, you had that as well. You had ropes. You got taut ropes.
What were you learning?
How to tie bowling on the bite and.
Well, they're still teaching you all the knots and splices, you know. And,
An old sailor, bowling on the bite, this is how you do it. And there was a reason why, if you wanted to shorten the rope, you know, it'd, they'd show you how to shorten the rope, and that was fairly big ropes, you know.
What about splicing, joining ropes and wires together?
Well, you learnt that on the ship, you know, an old able seaman would possibly show you that.
So just knots at Collingwood.
Yeah.
And what other seamanship? How far, what other stuff? I mean, there's things like the points of the compass they used to teach sailors. I mean, were you taught how to box the compass, you know?
Yeah, they give you, just give you an insight on it, you know. I learnt most of that when I went on board, you know.
So it sounds like just an introduction to both gunnery and sailing.
Yeah, it's just, I think it's, they try to work out what suit you best like, you know.
And any other training you might be doing?
I can think of.
So, one thing, preparing for kit inspections, you know, or room inspections. Yeah. Tell me about a bit about that. How would you prepare, and how much would they expect you to do?
Well, they expect, you know, your shoes to be, or boots to be cleaned. I think you got two pairs of boots, yeah. One was for best and one was for work. Your bed had to, you know, they showed you how to do it, fold it, you know, and your pillars had to be such, and everything had to be really clean, because if you got officers inspection, you just used to come round. But if you got the captain's inspection, he used to go along like that underneath, you know,
underneath the bed with his fingers.
Yeah, anyway, yeah. That was the big one.
I mean, did they go, I mean, you know, like polishing the boots, did they go as much to town on it as, say, the army did? Because, you know, they used to polish the studs and everything.
No, they, you know, as long as I was clean, you know, everywhere had to be cleaned.
So it wasn't this mad polishing business then?
Not really, no, because you haven't got a lot of gear in.
What about the stove? I mean, that's one side, because, you know, in the army, they'll have you polish the stove. And.
Oh, yeah, that, you know, that had to be, you know, you sort of took turns in that and made sure everything was, you know, up to scratch.
Now, how did you get on with the other recruits in your group? You know, your lot in your group. I mean, were they the same sort of lads as yourself? Can you talk a bit about them? How you got on with them?
Well, a lot of them come from different parts of the country. I joined up with another chap from Dagenham.
What was his name?
Only a few. Arthur Simpson.
And did you stick with him a bit? You know.
Yeah, we was. Together quite a bit until, as I say, I went to we went to a place. That was afterwards.
Okay, so he was he a special pal? You know, I mean,
yeah, we used to go. He wasn't allowed ashore for about the first 3 or 4 weeks, something like that. Then all of a sudden they'd let you ashore on the Sunday, where you walked out and went ashore with him, like, and they call it going ashore. It's only walking out the gate, really.
What about the others? How'd you get on with them? You know, the ones that weren't from Dagenham, you know, I mean,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
You'd get them from Wales and Scotland and Geordies and Yorkshiremen and all that. So gradually you got used to their lingo and, you know, you got an all right, and some, you'd always get a bit of a comedian and you always get a bloke who's a miserable bloke. You got a variety.
No bullies?
Not really, no. Well, you just sort of stood up for yourself, right, you know.
So there was a bit of bullying.
Well, it could be, you know, if one, I wouldn't say bullying, but if, how would you say, if you wanted to use the shower or something like that, you know, somebody would try and push in or something like that, and you'd say, oh no, I was the next one. So if you didn't take any notice, you know, you could, we're saying, but.
So it was low-level bullying, not picking on someone and making their life a misery. Yeah. What about the instructors? What did you think of them, and how did you get on with them? You know, I mean,
very well. We used to look up to this bloke. His name was Leading Seaman Trigg. I forget what his first name was. And he used to come immaculately dressed, you know, with gaiters on, your bush belt, and his hat on at the right. You know, he was quite a nice bloke. We all clubbed together and bought him a present when we when we left.
And what about the others? You know, the PT instructors,
yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. You know, we got an all right one. You know.
So there's no one unfair. You know, no, you weren't treated unfairly or over. Not too much swearing at you.
You got, mind you, you got to, you know, come and back your ideas up and all that sort of thing. But no, you know, it's nothing. It wasn't all that bad. You know,
nothing untoward.
No.
What about the officers? Did you see much of them, or what did you think of them? You know,
well, they could be a little bit offhandish, like, you know. You had to sort of respect them, and yeah, sir. In fact, when you got there, you sired and saluted anybody that had a peaked cap on. That's how you got, so you didn't make any mistakes, you know. But you might be saluting a cook because he had a peaked cap on, so you got to know the badges and. But you know, some of it could be disdainful, the officers is. But
in what way? What sort of things do you mean?
But they treated you like a sort of nothing, you know. It could be. In fact, they used to call them pigs, and that's the old Matlows.
And already you were calling them that at Collingwood.
Sort of, yeah. You sort of got to learn their ways, but. You know, a lot of them was now our old skipper and my old ship.
And we'll come to him. Yeah, I mean, now, what about when you did get out? What would you do when you went out in Fareham, or would you actually go into Portsmouth?
No, we.
It's not far, is it?
No, it's not. I forget what we. I don't know if we caught a bus or something, but it was just a walk round, because you'd been kept in for about 3 weeks or 4 weeks, and once you got out, it was, you know, it was on a Sunday afternoon. I think you was due back about 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the evening, so you know you couldn't go far. So,
did you go into Portsmouth or just stay in Fareham?
I think we stayed in Fareham. We had a
walk
around.
What would you do? I mean, did you drink? Would you go for a pint or?
No, you didn't. Well, I didn't drink in them days. You know, I was only 18, and you know, and just.
Did most of them not drink? I mean,
some of them did. I did start drinking before. I left Collingwood. I went in for, I think we had 2 pints, and I think this bloke was. He was half drunk, like, on these 2 pints. And I was all right. I thought I must have took it like duck dust to all, and I still do.
And so you'd go to the odd pub later on, you know.
Yeah,
what else would you first do in Fareham,
We'd have a walk round. Well, look at anything, shops and all that. I know there wasn't open, but you'd just sort of look around. It was a pleasure to get out away from. You know, just walk and talk and.
What about the local civilians? They must have been used to sailors wandering around. But I mean, how were they friendly? Were they?
Not very friendly. The further south you went, the less the hospitality. If you went up north, then the hospitality was all about there. They'd talk to you and make a fuss of you and all that. But in Portsmouth, there was one instance. We was on a parade, I think we was going through Portsmouth, and you get the lads, and especially if girls walk past them. Anyway, somebody reported them. They must have rung through, so when we got in, this old petty officer come down, he gave everybody a dressing down, you don't show the Royal Navy up like that. So, you know, but somebody must have took it in her head. I thought myself, now I think of it, you know, they couldn't have had anything better to do. You know. And so, I must have reported it. And
now, in the evenings, was there a canteen for you?
Yeah, canteen.
What did that offer for you? Do you know what I mean?
Well, you could go in, if you felt hungry, you could have a bun and, you could have a bacon sandwich or tea or something like that. And chat to you. I don't think they sold beer. I'm sure they didn't.
It was dry then?
I think it was, yeah. I can't remember now.
Did they have anything for you to do? I mean, I'm thinking the things like. darts or games, you know, any sort of games or recreational stuff in there, or was it just a room?
No, it's like it was a big place with tables and chairs, and a lot of them used to sit in there, you know, all night chatting and that, but I can't remember if they did sell beer. I can't remember now. But you could go in there, you could have a cup of tea, and if you was like growing lads, you was always hungry, so it was a bacon sandwich or a sausage sandwich or something like that.
Now, what about your pay? Because that must have limited your actions a bit.
I mean,
I mean,
well, I didn't smoke and drink.
You didn't smoke?
No, not then, and I don't now. But I did for about 20 or 30 years, you know, later on. But
so, what would you spend your pay on?
Well, it'd be soap, and any toiletries, paper for writing home, and pens and.
Did you make an allotment to your mum?
Yeah. I forget how much that... We didn't have a lot. I forgot what money we did have.
You don't remember how much you got paid then? It wasn't much.
No.
So, how were you assessed as to what you'd be good at? You know, that you said what one of the things they were doing was looking at you to see what...
Yeah, they give you they give you a bit of a test, you know.
Do you remember what it was?
Well, writing, arithmetic, sort of... general knowledge questions, and you know, whatever come out of that, they decided where you was going to go. You know, if you was good on figures or something like that, possibly you'd go as an engineer.
And you were selected for?
I got sent to Whale Island on a gunnery course.
And that's what they picked you out for. Do you know why? I mean, what was it about you that made them think you'd make a good gunner?
Might have been good eyesight. I had good eyesight in them days. And what they done was drops in your eyes, and it made your pupils come out, so you couldn't bluff your way out of it, like, you know. So
now, you went to Whale Island. That would be in April?
About June time, something like that.
So you might have been at Fareham till May.
Yeah.
So two and a half months sort of.
Yeah, I think we got a week's leave or something like that, and then we come back and then went to Whale Island.
And that was HMS Excellent, was it?
Excellent, yeah.
What do you remember of the setup there? Because that's got a reputation.
Yeah, tell you, mate. Well, after divisions, now that divisions there was a real. Well, I touched my nose once on a parade when everybody was standing still, and I took my card, and I had an hour's extra parade for a week in the evening, and it was sweating up, and it was like more like the Sahara. It was sand and. It was really hot, and I had to do this extra, you know, drill, running with a rifle and all that.
And how bad was it?
It was really strict there. After divisions, everywhere you went at the double. Like you ran. If you was waiting outside a classroom, it was all, you know, on the spot, running on the spot.
What was the discipline like? Was it strict?
Very strict.
More strict than, say, Collingwood.
Oh, yeah. No, Collingwood was owing to that.
Now, did you fall foul of it again, or was that your only...
That was my only worst name, yeah.
Now, what about the gunnery training? Tell me about that. How did they start you off?
Well, the gunnery... I'll tell you what, it was mostly drill. It was
gun
mostly
drill.
Gun drill.
Now, what all? Do you remember which gun?
Well, mostly you had a... the older Enfield, that's what you... rifle drill. It was mostly that. But the main... using, you know, big guns was done up in Aintree. Not Aintree. Ainsdale, up in Liverpool. The other side of Liverpool.
So you moved up there for it before we go on to that, I see what exactly were you doing with the rifles? What were you learning that you hadn't learnt?
Oh, it was all strict drill, you know. marching up and down on the playground mostly. And you got PT as well, but I'd say it's mostly drill.
What did you think of that?
Cool. You was at it all the time, you know. You had the gaiters on, your hat on with a ribbon underneath it so it didn't blow about. It was quite strict there. But you was allowed a free gangway overnight. You could go ashore where you had to fall in. They used to call it Liberty Men. All Liberty Men had to fall in, and they you was inspected and then you went out. But at Whale Island, you could walk out, you know, in the evening, whenever you liked. If you wasn't on duty, you know, you might take a turn of guard or something like that in the guard room. Or
and where would you go when you went out?
Well, have a drink. Have a walk, have a drink, you know.
Well, you'd actually, would you go into Portsmouth or...?
Well, was it near enough in Portsmouth?
Yeah.
Just in them days, you could walk down this main road and you'd eventually finish up in Portsmouth. But now they've altered it, and I think the Marines have got this Whale Island now.
And so, what happened when you went to Ainsdale in Liverpool?
Up in Liverpool. Well, I think I was up there for about a fortnight, 4 weeks, or a month, something like that. And we was billeted in houses up there.
And what were you actually doing? You know, the
no,
actual...
No, it wasn't houses. It was, I think it had been a holiday camp place. And I was on guns all the time then.
And what were you learning? Tell me what gun drill was. What were you learning? What was gun drill?
Well, gun drill was loading a shell into the... Well, same, you took different numbers. You know, there might be about three or four of you on a...
And what would each number do? You might not remember the numbers.
No, I can't remember.
But what would it? What were the components of the drill? Do you know what was?
Well, it would be one hand in a shell from one to another, and then he would hand it to a bloke who put it in the barrel, and another bloke would pull the lever or something like that, and you'd got your hands out of the way as quickly as you could. But we was on it was called a Chicago piano. It was a mass of Bofa guns, if you can understand what I mean. And there was a platform, and there must have been about five of you on this gun, and you all took different positions on doing that. And that's when you'd get shouted at, you know. This, but it was, you know, pumping all the time, all these, must have been about, must have been a good dozen of these guns all, going at different times, like
what was the drill on that? I mean, I'm not.
That was again loading, and then somebody would be giving orders. Then another one would be taking the shells away, the empty what's name shells, and getting on the range, the right range. You know, you all had different jobs. You know, there's five, and. You know, you got shouted at as well there.
What other gun drill or guns were you introduced to? I mean, what about the Ehrlichan? You know,
the one I was on. Yeah, I finished up on the Ehrlichan.
Did you get onto that at Ainsdale?
Yeah.
Now, what did you think of the Ehrlichan when you first met it?
And it was good.
How did they train you to fire the Ehrlichan?
Well, you had one in three tracer bullet. So wherever that. You know, you sort of stood behind it, you had a shield, and you stood behind it, and then when you started firing, wherever that tracer bullet went, you followed that. You know, you had one in three, so the other two was following that tracer bullet.
Now, how did the Ehrlichan work? Can you give us an idea of how it all
worked? It had a barrel. There was a big barrel, and you fixed it on. You had a number two, and he used to come along and put it on for you. And then it lined up, so the bullet dropped down, and then it, you know, that's the action it took.
So it's quite simple.
Really, yeah.
How did you move it?
You moved about, like that.
You have a shoulder strap.
You had strapped in, and then you just...
With your hands,
yeah. And then you had your hand on the trigger.
The right hand?
Yeah.
And what did you think of it as a gun?
It was a good gun.
You preferred to the Bofors?
Yeah, I liked it. It was it's manoeuvrable, you know, and it was a good gun. I liked it.